see everybody out this morning. Have some faces that we've missed the last few weeks here. So glad and happy that you're here with us this morning to be able to worship. And there's still others that are sick from our church family. Dick's still in the hospital, so just ask for continued prayer for him. And Jim is at home recuperating still. And everyone has lots of ailments this time of year, so just keep our church family in prayer. The Lord will heal them, and we'll be able to meet together as a full body. I have this vision of everyone in our church family being here on a Sunday morning and singing praises to God. So let's just keep our loved ones in prayer. And if you're a visitor here this morning, thank you for being here. It's always a pleasure to be able to have guests with us this morning. My family and I moved here about 6 months ago from Utah, and we came up to Canada at this church. And the reason why we accepted the call is because of the people here. The people here are amazing, loving bunch of Christians, and I hope that you have that opportunity to experience that today. And also want to make sure that we have a visitor gift outside in the foyer. Just has some stuff about who we are and a couple gifts for you inside of that bag as well. So if you're visiting this morning, please be sure to grab one of those. That'd be great. So it's Christmas season. How many of you are ball humbug, don't like Christmas, and would rather? Anybody going to admit to that? No? Good. Amen. I love the Christmas season. It's a time for us to be able to slow down and be able to think about and contemplate on the glorious birth of Jesus, our Savior, who went to the cross and died for our sins. And if he was not born into this earth, he did not take on a human body, take on flesh, he could not have done that for us. And so it's a good time for us to have that perspective, right? That perspective of who Jesus is and what he's done for us on our account. And that's kind of these next few weeks what I want to focus on, our perspective. Perspective means the capacity to view things in their true relations or relative importance. That's perspective, having perspective, the capacity to view things. And so we can come in to Christmas season and there's a danger that we can lose perspective on Christmas. The Bible doesn't command us to celebrate Jesus' birthday, but throughout church history, it's been a time where we can manifest to the world this glorious birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. And it's an opportunity. People's hearts tend to soften up around the holidays, and we can share that wonderful message. But we know, as far as the West anyway, Christmas is increasingly viewed as a time of holiday cheer, just parties and good time and good feelings, right? And a lavish gift giving, right? Seems like the gifts are bigger and bigger every year. And at least it's been my experience in the West here that they just, every year, the world wants to get Jesus further and further away from this holiday season. You know, we're not allowed to call it a Christmas party anymore at work. We have to call it a holiday party and all those things. And so we can lose perspective. We can get trapped up in what the world thinks of this time of year and lose our perspective as Christians. And that would be a travesty. But as Christians, the Christmas season can be an opportunity to reflect on what God has done. God has done great things through the gospel. And as great as his death, Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection is, as I said earlier, it would not have happened without the birth of Jesus. And we have to keep our perspective on that. That this is the time of year where we can just focus and meditate on the glorious good news of the gospel. The birth of Jesus is not some cute fable or fairy tale. It's a historical account of our Lord, our Creator God, stepping into his creation to save sinners like you and me. That's what this Christmas season is. Our God and our Creator stepping into his creation to save sinners like you and me. And we can, if we're not careful, we can become numb to the magnificent, awe-inspiring, astonishing sacrifice. There was way too many words with too many syllables all at once right there. If I ever preach that again, I'll have to change that up. Magnificent, awe-inspiring, astonishing sacrifice performed by Jesus on our account. We can come numb to that because it is awe-inspiring. It's magnificent. It's awesome what he's done, what our Creator God has done. But the fear is as we come to another Christmas season, we can just crack open the book of Luke and we can read the Christmas story and just become numb to the what God has truly, truly done. And we lose perspective when we do that. The gospel story and the birth of Jesus is like, have you guys, you know the oldie but goodie songs, you know, back in the day. When you're, you know, young and alive, just doing crazy things, and the music that we used to listen to back then. When you're driving in your car and maybe you have the radio on, and all of a sudden that song comes on. And it's years and years old, but boy, it just brings back such good memories, right? It's the oldie but goodie, and you know, it's all coming around. The good ones, the real good ones, they get remaked and they completely wreck them. But yeah, right? Yeah, got a couple amens there. But that's what the gospel should be like to us. Doesn't matter how many times we hear the gospel story or the birth of Jesus. It is that thing that just we can, as Christians, we can have perspective to understand the glorious good news that when Jesus came to this earth has afforded us. I was Garth Brooks was my favorite growing up, and my wife and I had an opportunity to go to his concert. It was a bucket list for me. I always wanted to go to Garth Brooks' concert. I was too broke to do it, and so we were able to do that a few years ago for our anniversary. And, you know, and it was great, but I just sat there, and it was there's lights and flashy stuff all going on. But I just sat there with tears welled up in my eyes. I know some of you are like, Garth Brooks, come on. But for me, that harkened me back to a time. Amen, sister. He is good. That harkened me back to a time of life, my formative years. And as he's playing that, I didn't like have a man crush, right? But it was because every time he played a song, these memories would just come up, well up inside of me. And it was just a great time for me to reflect back on those times in my life and those songs that had a lot of intent and meaning in my life. And the gospel, the story of Jesus' birth should be the same for us. To just stop and don't let this world change it into how big our gifts are, you know, all that, the lavish parties and you know, all that. But we can, as Christians, not only reflect on the goodness of the gospel that was afforded to us by the birth of Jesus, but also be able to share it with our friends and our neighbors. We can be a voice of resistance to what this world says and say, we can stand up and say, no, this time of year is much deeper, has much more meaning than what the world claims it has. It's a time for us to be able to spread the good news. And so, perspective, that's what I want to focus on the next few weeks, just having the perspective, a good, healthy Christian, biblical perspective of what this time of year really should be about. And, you know, as you read the gospel or the birth of Jesus, if you read that account in Luke chapter 2, most of us read that maybe a Christmas Eve or Christmas morning with our families. And as you read it, the verse that always jumps out to me is verse 19. Verse 19 says, this is right in the middle of the chaos. Jesus has already been born. The shepherds have come. The shepherds are going to leave and go back and declare the glory of what has been done to those around Bethlehem. But this verse has always jumped out to me because it provides a good perspective of how us as Christians should be. It says, but Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart. So Jesus was born. Shepherds are there. But Mary was taking this time. But Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. And I think that's a good verse for us as Christians to take this time to treasure up the riches and glory of the gospel message and to meditate on those things and to teach those to our children and to our grandchildren. It's a beautiful time of year. And we see there's different perspectives that are written to us as we go into the open up scriptures. There's many different perspectives that we can see this time, this birth of Jesus. through the eyes of those that are recorded in Scripture. And so this week I want to focus on the perspective of the prophets. And Jim mentioned earlier of the messianic prophecies that were pointing towards or looking forward towards the time when the person that God said would come to crush Satan's head in Genesis 3:15, the He who would come, is God used the Old Testament to lay out through His prophets this person that would come who is called the Messiah. And so let's look at the birth of Jesus through the perspective of the prophets, if you will, this morning. And so the first one is there in Luke chapter 1, before the birth of Jesus. This is the recording of Zechariah prophesying about his son that was to be born, John the Baptist. And just a few weeks ago, we saw how John was the last of many prophets that were to foretell of the coming of the Messiah. And we went through that. The Lamb of God, he was the last of many. He had the privilege of declaring that the Messiah had arrived. But he was the last in a long line of prophets. But this prophecy is just amazing. And I just want to take the time to go through this prophecy of Zechariah. In 67, then his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has visited and provided redemption for his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. Just as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets in ancient times, salvation from our enemies and from the clutches of those who hate us. He has dealt mercifully with our fathers and remembered his holy covenant. The oath he had swore to our father Abraham, he has given us the privilege, since we have been rescued from our enemies' clutches, to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness in his presence all our days. And child," speaking of John here, John the Baptist, "you will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give his people knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. Because of our God's merciful compassion, the dawn from on high will visit us to shine on those who live in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." He concludes here, "The child grew up and became spiritually strong, and he was in the wilderness until the day of his public appearance to Israel, where he was to arrive on the scene and be baptizing for the forgiveness of sins and declaring that Jesus was the Lamb of God." And so he was the last in the long line of prophets that were able to testify of the goodness of God and who he and the salvation that was to come through the Messiah. And so that's just a great way to start the Christmas story, is the seeing and drawing together the culmination of God's plan for salvation, his redemptive rescue mission that he laid out way back in Genesis 3:15. Jesus stepping into the flesh is the culmination of that. You know, history, I forget who claimed this, but history is really can be laid out or made to say his story, right? It's God's story, his redemption story. And God uses human history to be able to unveil and for us as God's people to see this great plan of redemption given through Jesus. And it goes back, as I said, all the way back to Genesis 3:15, where he mentioned the he who would crush the serpent's head. And then he would use human history and the prophets in recorded scripture to declare the different aspects of who this Messiah would be. And the first one is Messiah would be from the tribe of Judah. And this is found in Genesis 49, verse 10. This prophet would claim this in Genesis 49 through 10. This is actually Jacob talking to his 12 sons, would be the 12 tribes of Israel. And he's prophesying to them and telling each one the things that they were going to be special and God was blessing them with, and warnings and stuff like that. And he came to Judah, and this is what he said: "The scepter will not depart from Judah, or the staff from between his feet, until he whose right it is comes, and the obedience of the people belongs to him." The scepter, that's the the sign of authority. Jacob's telling Judah, look, the authority, the sign of authority from Judah or the staff from the between his feet, it will not depart from Judah until he, there's the he, the Genesis 3:15, he, until he whose right it is comes and the obedience of the peoples belongs to him. And so we have this messianic prophecy way back in Genesis 49:10, written in the 15th century, committed to writing in the 15th century BC. It is amazing. The Messiah would come from the tribe of Judah. The scepter, the mark of royal power, would not depart from Judah. So the Messiah would come from the tribe of Judah. The next is the lineage of David. That's found in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 11 through 13. It says this, the Lord declares to you, the Lord himself will make a house for you. When your time comes and you rest with your fathers, I will raise up after you your descendant who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He's talking to David here. The prophet Nathanael is talking to David, King David. And Nathanael prophesies that this Messiah would come from his lineage, from his line. When your time comes and the rest of your fathers, I will raise you up after you your descendant who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. Verse 13, he will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. From the lineage of David. So from the perspective of the prophets, we see that God has been planning this Messiah, the Jesus, to come to free his people from sin, and from the curse of sin and the bondage of sin, and to reconcile him through the Messiah. And it was prophesied, this is around 1100 BC. He's saying from the tribe of Judah, from the lineage of David, he will come. And then we see it here in Isaiah 7:14. This is around 750 BC. The prophet Isaiah says this, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive, have a son, and name him Emmanuel. Again, thousands of years or 1,000 years removed from the last prophecy, God's using human history to lay out who this Messiah would be. And then we find in Micah 5, verse 2, that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. Micah 5, 2 says this, Bethlehem Ephrathah, you are small among the clans of Judah. One will come from you to be a ruler over Israel for me. His origin is from antiquity, from eternity. He would be born of Bethlehem, and he would not be like you and I. His origin is from antiquity, from eternity. Our Creator God stepping into his creation. Our eternal God stepping into his creation to come and to save those who are lost. And so that's the perspective from the prophets. We have this rich revelation from God that this Messiah, this Jesus Christ, is one that can be trusted on and trusted in full, because it's not just by the wayside. He just didn't show up and happened to be a very charismatic person, and so lots of people followed him. 2,000 years removed from his death, there's millions of Christians throughout the world, because we can open up God's scripture and we can see God's story, his story being revealed through time, and the prophets and the perspective they had are very important concerning that. Turn, if you will, to 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter writes about this perspective from the prophets versus the perspective that we have. And I think it's good for us to just contemplate and meditate on this morning. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. And so Peter's writing, and he says, concerning this salvation that's through Jesus, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that would come to you searched and carefully investigated. So we have these prophets of God, the ones that we've just reviewed, and Peter's saying, look, the salvation that you have, the prophets who prophesied about those things, right, of the grace that would come to you searched and carefully investigated this. They didn't have the complete story like you and I do today. They had a different perspective. Their perspective was looking forward to the Messiah. And Peter's drawing that out. I say, look, this is such an amazing gift that we have because we have a different perspective now. We're now looking back to the Messiah and to the cross. They searched and carefully investigated. They wanted to know. They didn't have all the answers. They weren't omniscient. They were prophesied through the Spirit of the Lord, and they were told to prophesy what they'd prophesied, but they weren't told all the answers, obviously. Verse 11, they inquired into what time or what circumstance the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating when he testified in advance to the messianic sufferings and the glories that would follow. So they're inquiring, Lord, what's going on here? They wanted to know. They desired to know. They see God moving and God setting up the messianic reign. But they see they're prophesying the suffering of this conquering king, right? It's this mixed message in the Old Testament of this Messiah would come who's a conquering king, but yet there's other passages that declare him to be a suffering servant. And it wasn't clear to them as it is for us. We are in a blessed time, a privileged position, because we have received the gospel and we're looking back at what God has done. And we have the knowledge of the very things the ancient prophets searched for. We have that knowledge. It's been revealed to us. What a great perspective that we have in 2018. As we come to this Christmas season, as we see the goodness that God has provided through sending his son into his creation to save us. Verse 12 goes on, it was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you. That's us. God said, look, you're not going to be around for the fulfillment of these. But by the grace of God, we are. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you. These things have now been announced to you through those who preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. And he concludes this thought with saying, angels even desire to look into these things. God's angels are just look and wonder and awe of the gospel story that God stepped into his creation to save sinners like you and I. Angels desire to look into these things. The prophets desire to know what is coming. We have the benefit of knowing God's plan of redemption. What a great perspective for us to have and just to hold on to as we go into this Christmas time, this perspective of privilege, of knowing what God has done. In Hebrews chapter 11, that's the gospel or the hall of faith. There's many people listed in the hall of faith there in Hebrews chapter 11 who believed and trusted in God, right? They lay out the definition of what faith is, things. Faith is the things hoped for, the substance of not seen, that's not seen. And so many, he lists in Hebrews chapter 11, all these people who believed and trusted God for God's promises. But he concludes chapter 11 by saying this, all these were approved through their faith. They trusted God, and because of their faith, they were approved by God. But they did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, so that they would not be made perfect without us. And so those saints, those godly people who had faith and trusted God, were not able to see what was promised because it was reserved for a later time in human history. They were looking forward to those promises. And we have this opportunity and this perspective of looking back and being thankful for what God has done on our behalf. So I just pray this morning that we can all have a good perspective of what this Christmas season can really be about as Christians. We can see this amazing demonstration of God's glory and God's unmerited love to the saving of sinners through stepping into his creation, taking upon the form of a servant, being the spotless Lamb of God who knew no sin, who went to the cross. And at that cross, God's wrath was poured out on him for not his sin, but for our sin. For all those who would believe and trust in his sacrificial work on the cross, if they would just trust in that and abandon hope and all else, but in Christ's vicarious work, if you trust in that, God will save you. He will make you new. He will adopt you into his family. That's the perspective that we have. And it all started with the Messiah being born into this world through the virgin birth of Mary. If you do not know Jesus as Savior this morning, I pray that today would be the day that you would abandon all hope and all other things and trust completely on the sacrificial work of Christ alone. He came into this world to save sinners. And if he saved a sinner like me, I promise you he can save anybody. I hope today would be the day that you trust Jesus as Savior, that you can be a part of his story, this wonderful story that's being played out through human history. Is being played out today. It played out in my life 10, 14 years ago when this gospel message was preached to me and I trusted and believed in Christ, and I have never been the same since. I was added into his story of rescue and redemption. That same thing can happen to you this morning. You can be added into his story of rescue and redemption by just trusting in him and him alone. Let's pray. Father, we just love you and are so thankful for the gospel. We're thankful for this holiday season for us as Christians. In spite of what this world will do, we have this opportunity to go before and go into this world and demonstrate with the right perspective of what you've done through the gospel. So God, we just ask that you would help us, Lord. Help us stay free of the distractions that this world will throw at us this holiday season. Help us to keep the right perspective, and that is the birth of our Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ. What an amazing gift, Lord. Thank you for that. We ask these things in Christ's precious name. Amen. Brother Jim, this is just a time of